Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. Today is the New York City Marathon, and how you made it here and got here on time, I don't know. You must live in this part of the city, or you found a way to get here. So thank you for having the faith to get here. We welcome everyone, and it's a special Sunday for us. Some ministries have declared this the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church Sunday. I'll be the first to admit that this is the first time that we've ever really come out publicly and participated in this whole scale. And what happened to get these beautiful people on this stage this morning was no less than divine sovereignty and the power of God. Because how often do such scholars and experts end up in the same place at the same time? So this it's a privilege. Each of them are going to share briefly, and then there's going to be a brief message. We'll have a little bit of time for Q&A. If you have a pressing question, probably it'll have to come after it's over. Our speakers today will be here after the service as well to speak to you individually. And two of our wonderful speakers have a book, and they're going to be in the lobby afterwards if you'd like to purchase one of their books, and they'll be happy to sign it for you and give you their credit cards, and a lot of good goodies come with their books, I'm sure. I'm going to introduce each of them. I'm going to take my time on this because I think it's very important, and so they can get right to their brief statement. Let me just start first with two introductions right now. First will be Wendy on the end here, and then the second will be my friend Bob. Wendy Wright is the president of Christian Freedom International, an international human rights organization that aids, equips, and advocates for persecuted Christians. How timely it was that about a month ago we were able to meet by telephone through our mutual friends, Dr. JP and Dr. Ida. Just, you can't make it up. It was amazing. So, and you're in this space, and this is what she does professionally and for a living. This is what she is involved with every day of her life. Christian Freedom International works tirelessly in 9 countries, providing material and spiritual support for schools, shelters, food, medicine, Bibles, and churches. Wendy has testified in the United States congressional hearings and state legislatures, addressed United Nations meetings, briefed European legislators and Latin American leaders. You've briefed every leader in the world except for those, I guess, in New Zealand. I don't know, but everything's in here. It's quite, maybe you have covered New Zealand. Not yet. All right. So she's also, her activities also have brought and influenced legal cases that have been decided by the United States Supreme Court. And Wendy was formerly the president of Concerned Women of America. And she serves on many, many boards. Wendy is going to come up momentarily and frame this time. Let me introduce the person who will speak right after her. He's a longstanding friend of mine since we first met in July of 1995. It's Bob Fu. Bob Fu is a former student leader during the Tiananmen Square democracy movement in 1989. Through the deep disappointment and sadness of the death and destruction on that day at Tiananmen Square, the massacre, Bob and his wife Heidi turned to God out of their disappointment. They were comforted by God, and for the first time in their lives, they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They became followers of Jesus in 1993. Bob graduated with a law degree from a university in Beijing. He then became a faculty member of the Beijing Party School of the CCP from 1993 to 1996. Simultaneously, through his Christian faith, he was a house church leader in Beijing until he and his wife Heidi were arrested in 1996. Incidentally, I had the privilege of meeting Bob in Beijing in 1995, where we had a miraculous meeting together in the presence of God, where many miracles began to happen, and the Holy Spirit showed himself off in the most extraordinary way, something like I've never seen or experienced before or since. Bob documents all of that and much more in his incredible book called God's Double Agent, and it's a wonderful book. It tells the whole story of his journey of his life, I had no idea that I was meeting someone who would one day be incredibly famous. Most time I meet people that are completely unknown and underground, and this man has quite the story, and I highly recommend you picking up his book in the back. Remarkably, thanks to the help of President Bill Clinton in 1997, Bob and Heidi were exiled to the United States to start a new life in America with us and our home church in Raleigh-Durham, Kings Park International Church. You can see it, I think, an image of Bob. That was when he was like 28 years old or something. That's at Raleigh-Durham Airport where he got off the plane and we welcomed him for his first time in the United States. Bob then soon moved to Philadelphia where he pursued his doctorate degree from Westminster Theological Seminary. And then in 2002, he founded China Aid to promote religious freedom and rule of law in China. He graduated with a PhD from St. John's College at the University of Durham in the United Kingdom in the field of religious freedom. And then shortly thereafter, this book was published by Baker Publishing. Bob regularly testifies and briefs policymakers and legislators on religious freedom and rule of law, as well as the issues with refugees in the free world. Bob is a recipient of the William Wilberforce Award by the Colson Center. He recently received a National Endowment of Democracy Award from both sides of the party, Nancy Pelosi, and the Democrat and the Republican was named, what was his name?
McCall,
Republican Congressman McCall. Isn't that fun that when we get something that where we can work together and just applaud that? I mean, are we excited about that you received an award from both sides of the aisle? We need more of that. That's a wonderful time for someone out here to say amen. Thank you. My wife said it. She always supports me. Thank you very much. I heard that. All right. So Bob then also is a life member of the Council on Foreign Relations, editor-in-chief of the Chinese Law and Religion Monitor Journal. He and his wife Heidi lived in an undisclosed location in Texas for good reason. They have three wonderful children. It's our honor to host these two. Wendy's going to frame this, and then Bob will come up and speak. It's just such a joy to know both of them. Let's welcome Wendy Wright.
Thank you. It's really an honor to be here. Thank you so much. I'm going to jump right in. Talib Masai was a farmer in Pakistan, and in 2009, he went to a wedding. Joyous time. 5 days later, he and other Christians from that village were called before a Muslim council. They were being accused of burning pages of the Quran, which is the same as saying they're being accused of blasphemy, insulting Islam. In Pakistan, the sentence for that is death. Well, Talib Masai provided evidence, proof that, in fact, this couldn't have happened. And a man with a gun pistol whipped him till he was bleeding. Other men chased him with guns. He and his family separated. They fled. Mosques and schools made announcements throughout that whole region that Talib Masai was wanted for blasphemy, accused of blasphemy. There were three villages, Christian villages, that were burned down. Five Christian men burned to death. For 3 years, he hid and fled and finally made his way to Bangkok, Thailand, where he went to the UN Refugee Office and asked for asylum. And the response from the UN Refugee Office was, oh, Christians aren't persecuted in Pakistan. He was denied, initially denied. He is one of the 245 million Christians in the world who are being who live in areas of extreme persecution and high persecution. Governments will persecute China, Iran, North Korea, because they expect that your full allegiance as someone who lives in that country to be to their government, and that you can be tortured, imprisoned for simply believing in Jesus Christ. Societies will attack Christians from neighbors, police, beat Christians to death, abduct your daughters, forcibly convert, forcibly marry them off in order to convert them out of Christianity. Well, I know this is a group of doers, and you're going to want to know, how can we show love to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus said, they will know us by our love. How can we do that? Well, first and foremost, of course, pray. Because God does act, even in these horrible places and circumstances. He intervenes. We can also advocate through our governments. You'll hear more about that. Food and basic necessities. Many of these Christians, because they're discriminated against, they're not allowed the same kind of education, they say an opportunity for jobs, they're in dire poverty. We can help provide for them. Bibles and discipleship, that's what strengthens them through all of this, knowing who Jesus Christ is, knowing his word, and knowing how to live out our faith. That's what gets them through. Shelters, safe houses, when Christians are being, especially converts, those are the ones at greatest risk because it's a great insult to leave a religion. And so they need, even just for a time, a safe house to hide out in. And livelihoods. Our partner in a Muslim-majority country told me that for converts, it's difficult because they get shunned from their community and shunned from their livelihoods. And so if we can just simply provide a way for them to make a living, that can help them to stay true to their faith in Jesus Christ. Rainey was such a person. She grew up in a Buddhist village, and she came across a Bible, studied it, she came to love Jesus Christ, shared her faith with her father and her family. They came to Christ and came to faith in Jesus Christ. And she told me, we knew there would be problems. We did not know that the whole village would turn against us. The village burned their home, stole their property, told them that they could not return to the village unless they reconverted back to Buddhism. They were chased out. And I asked her, as she was crying, telling me this, do you regret? Do you regret becoming Christian? Do you regret sharing with your family, and they also suffered because of believing in Jesus Christ? And she smiled and said, no, because these villagers, they can't offer me eternal life. Jesus heals. Jesus offers eternal life. As we're thinking of how to pray for Christians who are persecuted for the faith, you can remember Rainey, you can remember Tlaib. Pray for them to be strengthened in the faith of Jesus Christ and to have the perspective of eternal life.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. Good morning, church. God's church in China has been a persecuted church. Just picture yourself this morning at 9:30 before you come to the church. You look at outside from your bedroom and saw the vehicles of the secret police were waiting to follow you before you go to the church. And then you want to buckle your children into your car and you receive the text message from the security force said, no, you're forbidden to send your children to go to the church because they are under 18 years old. It's forbidden. Then you tell them, I want to call my lawyer. And then a few minutes later, you find your own lawyer is arrested. This has been happening since last year in China. Since President Xi Jinping launched this war, three wars, maybe a war in three fronts, a war against faith, especially Christian faith and other religious minorities, a war against the children's Sunday school and education, religious education, a war against the rule of law. Just on February the 1st, 2018, that first day when the new regulation on religious affairs took effect in China, at least 10,000 churches were banned in Henan province, one province alone. Over 3,000 crosses of the churches were being taken down by force or being burnt by force. These are government-sanctioned, supposedly
state-protected churches. Last year alone, we documented over 100,000 Chinese brothers and sisters in Christ were incarcerated, arrested, persecuted, and some are still in prison. And not only that, at least since 2015, over 375 human rights lawyers were arrested, incarcerated, interrogated. These are not political dissidents or the enemy of the state, as the government wanted them to be. They are human rights lawyers who basically wants to follow the Chinese own law in order to promote religious freedom. And millions of children are forbidden to go to church. Today, this is a new, and according to the law, nobody under 18 years old, or university student, or any student, is allowed to even enter into the church building. Every church, if it's allowed to exist, has to install the face recognition cameras in order to spy and look out whether there are children over there. And not only that, at least two cities, there are laws already passed that citizens are given with up to $1,500 equivalent to report a so-called illegal preacher. If Pastor Ron goes there, somebody will get $1,500 for reporting about him. That's in Guangzhou and Guizhou already. So this has been happening already. The three wars, the war against Christian faith and other religious minorities, the war against the children, the war against the rule of law. But when I learn about this, I find myself both with a heavy heart, knowing that persecution now has become the worst since the end of the Cultural Revolution 40 years ago. On the other hand, there is hope. I would tell you in this church, brothers and sisters, that I rejoice in the sense that knowing that according to God's plan, even the persecutors would serve as the servant of the Lord. Amen? Even the persecutors. Maybe by the end of the day, President Xi Jinping may prove himself as the one of the faithful servant of the Lord in the opposite way to revive God's church. Because we know when Communist Party took power in 1949, there's only 1 million Christians after 1.5 centuries labor by the foreign missionaries. And today, according to the Purdue University estimate, at least the number of Chinese Christians have reached to between 100 to 130 million already. Praise the Lord. So the church is a persecuted church. We still need to partner with them, because if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. Amen? Please pray and remember them. Amen.
Thank you, Bob and Wendy. So persecuted church is really a part of the broader category on religious freedom. And religious freedom is something that we believe in cherish as Americans, but also we believe in religious freedom as followers of God and Jesus Christ. We believe in that. That's an inalienable right to worship God. And Bill Clark is our next brief speaker on the topic of working in China for 10 years, where he did research for his PhD. And it's on the topic of the Uyghurs. He's been an incredible advocate and a friend to the Uyghurs. He'll introduce, not by name, but just in group, just the guests who are with us today. Very special, intellectual. And it's one of the most difficult, challenging areas in the world right now. And we're happy that we're not only a part of the persecuted church, but advocates for those who are suffering, who are not Christian, those who are Muslim, those who are Buddhist, those who are Hindu, whoever's suffering we're suffering, as Jesus would ask the penetrating and probing question, who is your neighbor? And we would answer that everyone is our neighbor, whoever God brings before us. And last night, in a very powerful way, he brought the Uyghurs before us because of you, Bill, and we welcome you to this stage. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's an absolute delight to be here. And as Pastor Ron mentioned, we have three Uyghur scientists right here in the second row. Could you guys just stand up and can we acknowledge them? They are amazing men. They have families, children. They all have been in America for, all American citizens have been here over 20 years. And we're so grateful. We even have a Columbia University researcher with us. So thank you guys. Yeah. Many of you have not heard of the Uyghurs. So we need to start with that question. Who are they? Who are these amazing people? They are Chinese citizens. They live in the northwest corner of China, called the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. It is a huge place, twice the size. We have Bob from Texas. Think of two Texases together. That's how big this region is. It encompasses the second largest desert in the world. Home of 15 million, mostly Sunni Muslims, but there are Christians among this people group as well. And it's hard times for them. It is hard times. So Bob's just taken us through what the current government of China is doing to its 100 million Christians. Well, that same war is going on against their somewhere around 30 million Muslims, and half of those are the Uyghurs up in the northwest. Of those 15, we heard last night, up to 3 million, fully 20% of the people group are in concentration camps. Did you hear me? Concentration camps. These are specially constructed prisons that are designed to hold tens of thousands of people in one facility, and they are brutal. There's torture, there's brainwashing, there's systematic stripping of everything that's distinctive about this beautiful people group, their religion, their culture, their language. And so it is dark days. We were talking about again last night that this time we have not seen on planet Earth a group of people confined to concentration camps in this number since Hitler's Germany in the 1930s and 40s. Yeah, so we're talking that large scale. So as Christians, what is our response? And we talked again about the Good Samaritan last night, that crucial question, who is my neighbor? So we go on record as followers of Jesus that our neighbor are all the peoples of the world. And as I was getting ready for this in Seattle, where I'm from, I was thinking about Matthew 25. And there's a beautiful parable that Jesus tells about the sheep and the goats. And so in that parable, the king says, or excuse me, those who are invited by the king says, when did we see you sick or go to prison and visit you? And the king replies, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. So we have 3 million close neighbors in prison. What are we going to do for them? What are we going to do for them? So the world expects us, and the Chinese government expects us in a very cynical fashion to ignore them. To ignore them. They think that we're a mostly Christian nation, and we could have a big discussion about that. But no. we are going to rise up as American citizens, and yet more our deeper identity as followers of Jesus. And we're going to say, these are our neighbor. We're going to visit them. We're going to advocate them for them. We're going to care for them. Can I get an amen?
Thank you, my brother. Really appreciate you being with us. And for you, our Uyghur friends, our hearts are forever changed because of you, and we really esteem you, and we'll work together for sure. With us today is also another friend, a man who is from India. He grew up as a Dalit, which is means that he's known as an untouchable. That's how he grew up. The lowest of the Indian caste system, and his name is Yezupadam. He grew up in abject poverty because of his social status of being an untouchable. He was denied basic privileges and rights that other citizens received. The prejudice against him grew into a deep-seated bitterness in his heart when he was a young child, leading him to join the Communist Party of India at the age of 11. He became a violent underground gang leader by the age of 10. While walking to school, Yezupadam fainted on the road, dying from starvation. As an untouchable, the upper caste systems of his nation just would see him and walk by and would not help. However, a Christian missionary from Canada, who's still alive today along with his family, they were driving in their Jeep. They saw him and took him to a local hospital where he was kept. And for 2 weeks, they paid for all of his hospital bills. Their effort to save him helped them to survive and hear and receive the gospel at the age of 23. After encountering Jesus, Yezupadam realized that his name, which means Jesus' foot, was deeply and personally relevant and meaningful to his life. He became the literal feet of Jesus as he launched Love and Care Ministries, which has touched and reached hundreds of thousands, no hyperbole here, hundreds of thousands of Indians in his nation with the gospel of Jesus. To date, more than 7,000 churches have been launched in India through the 2,500 leaders who he trained through their discipleship centers. As an untouchable, Yezupadam was unable to receive any education, higher level education, and he was unable to own land. However, as a believer in Jesus, this man received an honorary doctorate, has owned and built numerous buildings, such as orphanages, schools, medical clinics, and churches all over his nation. Although God has entrusted him with millions of dollars worth of lands and buildings, his bank account remains right just a little bit north of zero. Why? Because he gives millions of dollars away to minister to his nation. Daily, his ministry feeds and cares. You can clap for that. Go ahead. It's true. It's probably more than he wanted me to mention today, but it's true. Daily, his ministry feeds and cares for thousands of poor children and orphans, single mothers, the disabled, young adults, students, prisoners, the homeless, broken people, not just in India, but their branches are also in Madagascar, Sierra Leone, and Germany. It's been our privilege to partner with Yezupadam, building community centers in the darkest remote villages of India, often in places where poverty is so great that the people literally have no clothing. Although we have supported his organization by funding one or two buildings, Yezupadam has built 12 of these community centers in honor of our son, Jordan Lewis. And we're so deeply grateful and honored by his honor for us. All of these centers now host churches which have launched there as the very first churches in those regions where there has been absolute darkness now turned to light through this man and his ministry, along with his wife, Monica, who is here today. Let's welcome from India, Yezupadam.
Good morning, church. I'm nervous. Thank you, Ron. I'm so honored and so privileged to be here. When I was sitting last night and hearing the stories of our brothers, I thought to myself, they were telling my story. Our country is a great country with a great constitution, with 1.2 billion people. I'm honored to be an Indian, the greatest mission field on the earth. Yes, it's been difficult being an untouchable in India. But I had an amazing encounter with Jesus when I was 23 and a half. I was not looking for God because I never believed in the existence of God. With all that I was going through, everything I know was hurt, pain, suffering, rejection, hunger, poverty. Lost my mom when I was 16 because my dad has no money to take her to the hospital. I saw no hope for my life, tried to commit suicide 2 times, but now I know why God kept me alive. I never realized until 1976, January 26, that there is someone that loves me, that cares for me, that is thinking about me. The Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the whole world. If I am here today, it's not because I'm an Indian, it's because I'm a Christian. That Christ, that Christ gave me such a freedom. And as the Bible says, you know, if the Son makes us free, we are free indeed. Then I realized finally, the problem is not political, it's not economical, it's not social. It's knowing God and understanding God's love. And me, you know, just being an untouchable itself is a difficult thing in India. Then to being a Christian, it's more harder. You know, it's like a double persecution. And I'm so honored and privileged to have broken head, broken bones, to carry this scar on my head for my Jesus. And to shed few drops of blood for the gospel. Though I trained many leaders, 3 of my leaders, the people I taught, the people I touched, the people I laid hands on, the people I gave them certificates to go and preach the gospel, were brutally killed. 3 of my sons are no more on this earth, but they are with the Lord, with the Daddy in heaven. I tell you just one thing. I went to the widow of one of those pastors that was brutally killed. They hit his head with a rock and put gasoline and killed and buried, threatened his wife with 2 kids. If she ever tell anybody, they will kill them also. It took us 1 week before we even know that thing was happened because she was so afraid. Then when we realized, my wife and we both went there to see her, to take her to a safety place. When she saw me, she started hugging me, holding me, and she said one thing. She called me uncle. I said, uncle, please don't ask me to leave this place. Uncle, my husband and me came here with a vision, and we established a church here. My husband went to be with the Lord. I want to continue the remaining vision which God has given to us. If I die, I die. It's worth dying. But I want to continue serving in the same place. Friends, I realized Christian life is denying self, taking of cross, and following Jesus. My wife put timer for me because I'm an Indian. Because we say in India, You have the watch, we have the time. So we have Indian stretchable time. But friends, there is nothing greater than laying down our lives for Jesus, who laid down his life total and unconditionally. If there is one desire in my life that I want to see all my people, the second highly populated country in the world, worshiping 33 million so-called gods and goddesses, to hear the gospel, either by life or by death, my only desire is to see my people hear the name of Jesus at least once in their life. They want God. They don't know who is true and living God. They are looking for God everywhere with all these idols. The present government is very anti-Christian. They say it officially on the national televisions. By 2021, December 31st, they want to make sure that Christianity would be washed off totally from India. And I know with all my heart, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. And as long as my Christ reigns, as long as he sits on the throne, no power on earth can stop, come against the power of the resurrected Jesus and stop the spreading of the gospel. As long as it is here, the only desire of my heart to see that my nation will become a Christian nation. By all means, God told me that's what I'm living for, that's what I want to see, and that's what we are here. And God has a sense of humor. He brings an untouchable boy and make him to stand in front of everybody in the New York City, and he brings the most beautiful lady on the surface of the earth to be a wife to an untouchable boy. That's my Jesus. That's the Jesus I serve. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, thy cross before me. The world behind me, thy cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Amazing. Thank you. Wow. Yezupadam's book was told by a wonderful woman. It's called The Foot of Jesus, Yezupadam Reaching the Untouched of India. So that's available, and it's a great book. I've read it. You could buy all these books and give them away for Christmas. People will be really blessed. Okay, our last speaker. We've lost our time to have a panel discussion, but we will note that at info at this email address, info@everynationnyc.org, that's our church, of course, you can send any question you want, and we will link it or direct it to whoever can best answer the question, okay, or to whomever you address the question. So we have that covered. Also, if you'd like to be involved or engaged at any level in any of this, we can give you ideas how, again, info@everynationnyc.org. Next is, we're beginning to close here. Our wonderful friend, Simon Sub, one of my best friends. He's been my friend for more than 20 years, just like Pastor Bob here. And he is my younger brother. If you're Korean, you know what I'm saying. He's my younger brother. And he was a groomsman in my wedding. Years ago, God put us together to lead a remarkable church in North Carolina that's planted churches literally all over the world. In 2002, he was sent out to reach Korea. He went to work with a very well-known Korean pastor, a Baptist pastor, Dr. Billy Kim, and he did extraordinary work with him. And again, just remarkable work that he did with him in planting churches in Mongolia and in the peninsula of the Korean peninsula. And then, interesting, he started the Every Nation Church in South Korea so that he might be able to also branch into North Korea. That was his vision all along. Here's an image of North Korea, a satellite image. And North Korea is officially and absolutely the darkest nation in the world. Literally, physically, the darkest nation in the world. That's North Korea in the middle. That's China upward and north and to the left. And then that's South Korea below. There are no, the lights are completely out in North Korea. It's the darkest and most complicated and most difficult nation. And Koreans have prayed for many years that that wall between North and South Korea would come down. And I pray to God that we see it, and I do believe we'll see it in our lifetime. We're going to see that come down. There's going to be a revival in North Korea like you could never imagine. I'm very happy to say that Simon's work in North Korea has been absolutely amazing. More than 300 North Koreans have been rescued through his work, brought safely out of North Korea, and now they're all over the world. It's remarkable, his work in North Korea, in my opinion. I affectionately call him an Oscar Schindler. To me, he is that, and he's reached many in the most incredible ways. I don't have the time to tell you some of the stories, for example, of Cha Hae-won, who is North Korean, and just in the briefest statement here, they tortured her in North Korea. And I believe we have a picture of her in she came to North Carolina also to share her testimony. They tortured her because they heard that her grandmother was a Christian. She was not. They hung her upside down with her arms chained behind her back and let her drop on her head. They kicked all of her teeth out. One time when she was being dropped on her head, she heard a song go off in her mind. It was a song that she did not know what it meant, because it was the song that she heard her grandmother singing to her when she was a little child on her lap. And the song was Amazing Grace. And that time when they dropped her on her head, she felt no pain, and she began to look for God from that point onward. After she got out, she ended up in Seoul, Korea, where Pastor Simon was able, along with she and many others, to disciple them as bold followers of Jesus Christ. The work that this man has done for North Koreans is absolutely legendary. One of the most special things about his life is that Simon ended up meeting and marrying a North Korean refugee who escaped out of North Korea and went to Seoul, Korea, where she also was trained, and then she moved to Los Angeles. I've got to bring this thing to a close here. I'm sorry, can't tell more. But she went into the fashion industry, and now she is the president of Lydia Design Studio of Atlanta, Georgia, where she makes clothing for NBA basketball teams and also the movie stars of Atlanta. So don't tell me that God can't work with amazing stories and do miraculous things. Let's welcome Pastor Simon.
I want to tell you about a North Korean girl who loved sewing and making clothes in North Korea. She started to making clothes for North Korean soldiers and some of the people in the village. But in North Korea, when you graduate from high school, You have to report to the government, and they're going to assign you to work certain companies. Everybody does that in North Korea. But because that she loved making clothes, she didn't report to the North Korean government, and she was making clothes at home. She was arrested because of that, and she was on her way to prison. But somehow, by God's miracle, she escaped from those two guards, and she decided to escape from North Korea. She came to China, hiding out 3 years in China, and finally made it to South Korea, went to university in South Korea. And she came to my office, and she said, I want to bring my brother and my mother from North Korea. It was a daring operation, but because Pastor Ron and every nation financially and prayerfully helped us, we rescued her brother, her mother from North Korea. And they all came to South Korea together and lived there. But she had a bigger vision. She wanted to come to America making clothes. And we met, we got married. And now we are owning a manufacturer, clothing manufacturer in Atlanta, Georgia, making many, many different clothes. And it is God's miracle. And because of God, the American dream happened in Lydia's life. Thank you so much. Pastor Ron, thank you.
Oh, what a story. Anyway, could our panel just stand up, please? And can we just give them a big hand? Aren't they amazing? This is, wow. Boy, that, just stay standing for a minute. Just we need this. Whew. Anybody need any release here? Just anxiety release. And this is the world we live in. And Jesus gave us a big message when he said, don't fear. He said, as they've done to me, they're going to do to you also. But through their stories and through what the Word of God teaches us, we're going to prevail and we're going to overcome. And so we're just honored that all of you would be with us today. Your stories, your walk, your journey, what you've deposited here. Thank God we got this on video today. We're going to have their stories to be able to share with the world. And we're just so grateful, so thankful for each and every one of you. I don't know if I should bow or shake your hand or hug you or kiss your cheek. Every culture is a little bit different. So whatever works for you, just receive it from our hearts. And thank you so much. Bob, you stay up here on the stage, but the rest of you, please go back and have a seat. Just stay standing for just another minute or two. What a morning. What a thank you, each and every one of you. So awed by this. Because we're a church family who cares, we're going to take an offering for their ministries. And also for what we're doing, if you're part of the church family, we have this annual thing that we call Big Give, where we do something audaciously, outrageously beyond ourselves. We're going to translate much of the New Testament into a language that has never had any Bibles. We're going to fund that. We're going to fund a Bible translation so that there are a group of people that are going to receive a Bible for the first time in their lives. We'll document all of this. It's going to be an amazing journey that we're already on. And also, in addition, for this year, one of the projects that we're working on is for North Korean help. We have three people here this morning on the stage that they focus on North Korea. Every year we focus on a different part of the world. I believe last year was India. This year it's going to be North Korea. So we want everyone, it's not about equal giving, but it's about equal sacrifice. And you see what they've gone through. There are 245 million people going through their own story right now. By God's grace, we'll be able to fund another North Korean rescue. We'll be able to build another church in India. We're going to be able to do things in the Middle East that we're doing right now. We didn't even have the time to get to the Middle East. And the crazy things that God's doing in Pakistan, Syria, Iraq right now that the media will never tell you about, but we're there and our people are on the front lines. And man, with resources and big resources, we can do so much more. And that's no pressure on anybody, because if we have the faith that if God is funding something, it's going to be taken care of. So we're going to pray over our big give. My wife's going to make a few comments, and then Bob Fu will give our benediction. He was going to speak, but tonight he's giving the whole message by himself tonight. And so the rest of this group can't make it. They have to go different places. But Bob is speaking in our night service tonight at 34th Street at 152 34th Street at 6 o'clock. East 34th Street at 6 o'clock on the east side.
Kind of puts it all into perspective, doesn't it? Don't you want to spend your life hearing these kind of things? I do. We live in New York City, and we walk on Fifth Avenue, and we go up and down places, and there are mornings I wake up, and I'm all bummed out about things, and then I hear this, and I go, we're blessed. We're rich. We're blessed. It's not to make us feel guilty, but what it does is it compels me to be generous and to get out of my life and to give my life away and do what I can. And, you know, what do we do when we hear all these stories? It can be overwhelming. I've found that when we pray, God will show us what to do. Right now, in this moment, just ask the Lord, what should I do? Minimally, we can pray. Minimally, we can become more informed. We can tell other people who don't know what we've heard this morning. Talk about what you heard today. Share about it. Find out more. Go follow your interest and your burden. Follow it down a path, and God will show you what to do. But we have an opportunity, as blessed as we are, to sow into these fields, to give whatever we can give. God will show you what to give, to minimally pray, but to also give. I look back on my life now for 30-some years of a career in moments like this where I would feel compelled to give. And do you know what I feel at this age? I don't even remember those checks and those credit card statements where I sowed, but I count my eternal reward and I say, God, can I just keep building it up more and more? Can I just keep laying it up there more than laying it down here? And I believe you feel the same. So let's pray this morning and let's give our generous gifts to causes that matter to the kingdom of God. Lord, we're honored that out of all the places we could have been this morning, I believe you led us here. You brought us here today. So many of us guests, many of us just unlikely visitors today at this moment, but God, you brought us here. And I want to thank you for hearts of people who are willing to give. Lord, show us our part. Show us what to sow. Show us what to give, even sacrificially, toward the people, our brothers and sisters who need it. And Lord, we're asking you to do with our small seed what only you can do, and that is bless it and multiply it and feed the masses with what we do. Lord, through your grace, through your mercy, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Already did the offering. Okay, great. Thank you very much for your generosity on this. And whenever the big give comes around, I actually felt this is, I rarely do this, but I really felt like God wanted me to say that my family, that we are committing $10,000 to the big give. And the only reason I say that is not for your, I say it for two reasons. Number one, I really feel prompted to let you guys know, and this is just from the Holy Spirit right now, that we're in on this. And it's not like we got $10,000 floating around, really. We're trying to figure out what we can sell to do this and what we can rearrange to do this. So that's our heart. I wish we could have three more zeros on that. Do you ever feel that way? You know, maybe someday, God, right? Maybe one day, right? We're going to have a surprise. We didn't realize it. We're part of the Beatles dynasty or the Kennedy, you know, we're going to get a check somewhere from somehow, some crazy thing. But, and that's, God is in that business. All we do is our part. And I pray that our $10,000 will be that which will really physically, miraculously, spiritually make a difference in the lives of others. And so I'm happy to be a part. And there are plenty of things that we can do without to be a part of that. Bob Fu, thank you so much for being here. I missed your message from today. He's preached for me many times, many places. He's an amazing preacher, really. He's got all these degrees. He's all these, you know, accolades and all that. But really, at the end of the day, he's a gospel preacher. And I've heard him many times. So, Bob, you come up and finish us. I about said finish us off. But finish this off today, and then Bob and Yezupadam, you and Monica could go in the back now, and people want to talk to you. Maybe you can sign books for them. Bob will do the same momentarily. Bill Clark will be back there as well if you want to talk to him and Wendy and the others. So anyway.
Thank you, Pastor Ronnie. Thank you, Lynette. It's really a victorious church. Amen? I'll finish my three-point sermon in 30 seconds. Okay. I forgot to mention, really, to pray for Hong Kong. Yeah. I think many of you have witnessed, right? I mean, it's a part of the suffering church in Hong Kong now. In the past few months, over 2,000 were arrested already, and the half of them are under the age of 18 years old. The youngest prisoner indicted is 14 years old for peaceful protest. May they sing hallelujah to the Lord on the street of Hong Kong be lifted up. So let's bow your head and pray and receive the benediction. Lord, we have heard your word. We experienced your love. We dedicate ourselves to proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ, your death, your burial, your resurrection, and your return. That is the hope of the glory. May the love of Christ, may the grace from our Heavenly Father, may the Holy Spirit continue to lead us, inspire us, and fill us so that we can walk a godly life in Christ Jesus from today and forever. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.